T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Chris Fedor of Cleveland.com. Chris, how's it going, man?
Jonathan, Dustin, what's going on, guys?
Fedor, what's the big bet? What'd you bet? Anything good?
Yeah, so, okay. I went to the Luxor last night, and I was going to place a bet at their sports book. And I was going through the future odds, and nothing stood out to me. I looked at the NFL. I looked at college basketball. I looked at college football. I looked at Major League Baseball. And, like, nothing stood out to me. So I just turned around and went back.
It's probably a smart investment. You survived an earthquake out there. What happened?
Oh, my God. That was the most terrified I've ever been in my life, guys. I had just gotten back from the arena because Zion, it was announced that he was not going to play in the second half. So I got back to my hotel, which was off the strip. I stayed off the strip. And I'm on the top floor of my hotel, and all of a sudden everything starts rattling and everything starts swaying. And I'm like, holy crap, this is an earthquake. This is what an earthquake feels like. So I didn't know what to do. I had no clue. I had never been involved in something like that. So for like 20 to 30 seconds or something like that, I was just holding on to whatever I could hold on to because the rolly chair that I was sitting in doing my work was rolling back and forth. So it was pretty terrifying, but thankfully everybody's okay.
Yeah, I would think you'd go behind, like underneath desks or something, right? Isn't that what they taught us?
Yes. The problem is the desk in my hotel room was literally next to the biggest window in my room that overlooks all of Vegas, including the strip. So they always say, stay away from windows and stuff like that. And the windows, by the way, were rattling, which was freaky. And the light bulbs were kind of rattling as well. And then everything that was next to my bathroom sink in the other room, like, had fallen into the sink. So that's how much movement was felt in my hotel room.
Oh, that's crazy.
That is. That's wild. Chris Fedor, Cleveland.com, joining us here on 92.3 The Fan. All right, Chris, I'm getting a lot of heat for admitting that I watched 0 minutes of summer league basketball. I mean, tell me what I missed, or tell me why I'm okay missing what you saw out in Vegas.
Come on, you didn't want to watch Naz Mitro Long and Marquise Bolden?
Yeah, I was out. I was out on that.
I don't think you missed anything, to be honest with you. I think it was a valuable experience for all the guys that were there. I talked to Darius Garland about this. I said, man, you didn't play. So, like, how did you benefit from being out here in Las Vegas? What did you even gain from being out here? And he said he watched film every single day with either Lindsey Gottlieb or Antonio Lang or J.B. Bickerstaff or John Beilein. You know, they held two-a-days at Park City before Salt Lake City Summer League started. So they started to install some things and get familiar with the system and what was going to be expected of them. There was obviously team bonding that went on. But in terms of the on-court stuff that happened, I mean, I think Dylan Windler kind of got a taste of what the NBA is going to be like. He could see what he could do, what he couldn't do. But the competition level at Summer League is going to be extremely different from the preseason and the regular season for him. So I guess for him it was just getting his feet wet in this kind of environment. And for the other guys that weren't able to participate, Darius Garland and Kevin Porter Jr., it was a combination of team bonding and getting to know the coaches. I think because there's so much new surrounding this organization, I think they wanted those guys to be around. And that's why every single player that's under contract showed up in Las Vegas, with the exception of Matthew Dellavedova and Kevin Love.
Windler, you mentioned, got a little taste here of NBA action. You know, what's the upside for him? You know, I watched some of the – listen, you know, I'm not an expert, but I watched his YouTube highlights, and he looks like he can shoot the ball really well, Chris.
Yeah.
Is he have a chance?
Oh, absolutely. I think so. I think he's going to be a rotation player this year. I think in part because they just do not have enough wings. This roster is completely imbalanced. I think everybody in the organization recognizes that. It's guards and bigs, and they just don't have enough wings. So because of that, he's going to get minutes. It's going to be him and Jetty Osman, basically, at the wing spots. So I think who he is, is a guy who's going to space the floor. He's going to make the right plays and the right reads, and he's going to knock down catch-and-shoot shots that the Cavs weren't able to knock down last year. So I think that's his value immediately as a rookie. And I think Summer League was really, really hard on him because he's not a number one option. He's never going to be a number one option, probably. He was the 26th overall pick. I think he's going to play a specific role this year and throughout his career. But asking him to kind of carry the offense throughout the course of Summer League was really putting him in a bad spot. And I think the organization recognized that, but there was nothing they could do about it.
How many fights did you start with mascots, Chris?
First of all, I didn't start the fight with the Utah Jazz Bear. He started it because I was just sitting in my normal media seat right across from the Cavs bench, right about the three-point line, and all of a sudden, the mascot comes over and he takes my water. It was a full bottle of water that was unopened. He just grabs it and gives it to a little kid.
It's a wild move. I mean,
who does that?
That's a wild move.
You want to give this kid something. You bring him to the court and you give him candy and you give him a game ball. But you're giving him my water? Like, come on now. So I tweeted about that. He saw it, and the very next night he just kept giving me bottles of water in different sizes until he finally brought out the big one that usually goes in like an office where it's like the sitting around the water cooler having a talk, like that big jug. He put that in front of me the last night that I was there in Summer League in Salt Lake City. I think that was the highlight of Salt Lake City.
Yeah, at least he righted that wrong because that was that's good.
He knew that he was in the wrong, so he had to make up for it with an abundance of water that I couldn't even drink.
Between that and John Beilein's style choices, it was about as entertained as I needed to be with Summer League. But I will ask this question on Beilein because he was out there coaching, and that is not something that we typically see with Summer League. Did he find his way and navigate his way through the different shot clock and everything that is different in an acceptable manner for the little time that he was there?
So I think he did, guys. But I think, look, everybody's got their own style. And I feel like his style is probably going to evolve in the NBA. And he's going to have to find it. Some of the things that he did at Salt Lake City probably aren't going to fly in the NBA, truthfully. He ran the guys through two-a-days leading up to Salt Lake City games. So there were 3 days of practices. There were two-a-days. And they went 2.5 hours. I mean, think about that. That's Salt Lake City. That's the altitude. And that's before even playing games. And I know he felt like, I've got to work these guys. I got to set a culture of competition and hard work. And he was trying to fast forward, I think, and trying to implement so many things all at once that he exhausted his players. So I think those kinds of things, finding out how hard to run these guys through practices, how long to go, what's the proper combination of work and rest, I think that's all to be determined, and he's going to have to figure that out on the fly. But I think there were people that felt like he worked these guys too hard in Salt Lake City, and they were exhausted by the time game days rolled around. And the losing team in certain drills had to do push-ups, and I can't imagine that lasting in the NBA too long either.
Yeah, I can't. I mean, that's
so
like
it just
high
goes
school
to
stuff.
Show you there are like college things that he's going to do going to try.
Yeah, Kevin Love's not going to deal with that.
That's what he knows. You're right. But that's Beilein's comfort zone, and he's going to have to figure out that that's not the player's comfort zone.
I got you. Hey, you mentioned Gottlieb, Lindsey Gottlieb, who they just hired.
Yep.
What's her role been, and how has she been, you know, perceived and by the players?
So I think one of the good things that John did when he was out in Salt Lake City, when he was actually being the head coach of the Summer Cavs, each day, this is another reason why he wanted to do the two-a-day workouts. Each day, he wanted to allow an assistant coach to run practice. So the first practice was John. The next practice might have been J.B. Bickerstaff. The next one was Antonio Lang. The next one was Lindsey Gottlieb. And it wasn't just John's show. It was everybody getting involved.
Sure.
And I think delegating is good. I think giving these different coaches a voice is very good and giving them power to do things their own way. I think that shows the kind of staff that he wants to have. He wants it to be collaborative. He wants everybody to have a voice and be involved. So that was really good. And what Lindsey did, based on people that I talked to that were there at those practices, said that she did a really good job running those practices and that the players took to her really, really well. I talked to Dylan Windler about having a female coach for the first time, and he said, it's just like any other coach. They call her coach. And I think that's a good thing. And I think it shows that this organization is open to as many voices as possible, no matter the gender, no matter the level of experience, you're going to have a chance to make some kind of impact as a coach, as long as you know what you're doing and can communicate in a way that these guys are going to want to follow.
Joined by Cleveland.com's Chris Fedor in the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Bigger picture basketball question, Chris.
Yep.
The NBA approved the use of the coaches challenge for 2019 and 2020. Will we get to a point where, and I understand they're trying things and I like that, and I like adding game theory, to be honest. I like adding value for some of these coaches if they're able to find out the right times and the right situations to do just that. But is it going to make the end of the game just entirely too long?
I asked J.B. Bickerstaff that same question. I asked a couple of other coaches that were in Las Vegas over the last couple of days that same question. I'm working on that piece for Cleveland.com, actually. They don't think so. They think the decisions are going to be quick enough, or the decisions that coaches have to make, they have to be made in a certain amount of time, so they can't really dawdle in terms of if they're going to challenge. And they think that the replay is going to be quick enough where it's not going to slow down the game, interrupt the play. Look, when you're talking about replay, you're obviously going to slow things down and you're going to have timeouts and you're going to have stoppages. But the coaches that I talk to don't feel like it's going to be a problem that is going to make it so that replay is not a good thing. I think everybody is on board with trying to correct human error as much as possible and get these calls right, because they can change outcomes.
Chris Fedor, Cleveland.com. We appreciate you giving us a couple of your minutes, and stay away from the mascots, okay?
Yeah, no problem. I'm surprised I didn't get the obligatory Kevin Love question. It was nice to go a whole interview without that.
I mean, I thought about asking Russell Westbrook, and then I backed off because I didn't even want to waste that space with you here, okay?
Yeah, I don't think that's going to happen, but the Cavs being involved as like a third team to facilitate the trade, I think is entirely possible and maybe even probable at this point.
Ooh, probable.
Yeah.
That's
juicy.
Yeah,
I mean, they're one of the teams that has an appealing contract, like JR, that's not fully guaranteed. The Oklahoma City Thunder are looking for cap relief, and so too are the Miami Heat. And those are the two teams that, based on everybody that I talked to in Las Vegas, they feel like it's just a matter of when Russ goes to the Miami Heat. So you've got two teams really motivated to shed salary in that kind of deal. How do they get that? I think the Cavs provide that avenue.
It's an interesting wrinkle. All right, great stuff, Chris. Appreciate the time, man.
All right, guys. See ya.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.